Saturday, April 18th, and you're listening to the Dollar Bill.
What, should you give the date when it's going to be posted?
No, we never do that. Yeah. Okay. It involves thought.
It'll be posted at some future date after this date.
Yeah, because it may never be posted.
You can just establish a vague place in continuity to say it's pre-Free Comic Book Day.
In continuity.
This takes place before Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, however, because the thing about rapping with Richards is we don't really ever know when we're going to post them. Because they're
always great.
And no one ever cares.
Yeah, we use them when we don't have a show, basically.
Up on our continuity, we made a deal with the devil, so all our past 100 shows never existed.
That was what she whispered in his ear. Can you get rid of Ultimate Spider-Man?
It was so good.
We don't want any competition.
Dust and no longer play me in the movie.
Yeah, hey, exactly. That's what was whispered.
You need to leave. All right. Shut up, okay?
You and Devin with your unnatural love for that troll.
She is awesome, and I would make her Mrs. Tarver in 5 seconds.
I would not come to the wedding.
You're not going to be invited, so take that.
I would be doing...
You're getting a reception-only invite, so take that.
I would reenact the graduate scene, but to save you, not her.
So that is our...
Then in order to keep my fan base here, I actually like Kirsten Dunst. There you go. I thought you made a good MJ.
Yeah, she made a good MJ. Yeah, but she did a horrible MJ. Your favorite actress of all time is Jennifer Love Hewitt.
And I agree with you. I just saw a cover of Ghost Whisperer back there that made me realize why she's so awesome.
She is a fine actress.
And being that would be a perfect transition to actually get into our topic, however, this will not be a part of that segment.
We are
going to say that was our lovely heated catch-up on Spider-Man and what's going on with him. And
featuring Ted Tarver.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned in the near future where we talk with Richard about the big topic that we're about to kick off now, which is adaptations. And we'll get a little bit more into that in probably a couple weeks.
Lowered adaptations.
See, I like what you did there. I thought you were going to go expectations. You said adaptations. That was pretty strong. Came up with that.
So, Richard.
Yes, Brian.
We're here.
It's been a new day, and we're glad you're here again.
Hey, and guess I'm still here. It's came back to Greenville again.
It's a brand new day.
Same clothes.
Is it Greenville or Greenville?
It's Greenville.
It can be Greenville.
No, it's Greenville.
Greenville.
See what I did there?
It's here. Twice. Well, you're very clever.
But yes.
We're here at Richard's Comics.
The longer I've lived here, the more I've moved to Greenville from Greenville.
And that would be Adam. And we also have Ted.
Ted Tarver.
And Richard
Tarver. You guys say my whole name, man. It's like a thing.
Ted Tarver,
Metabot Town. And Richard, and we're here to do a rapping with Richard. Today we're focusing on old school hip-hop. talk about the Sugar Hill Gang. Something that's been on your mind, apparently, lately has been the overwhelming adaptations where we're cross-pollinating, perhaps, between different forms of media and how that pertains to comics.
Yes, I've been thinking a lot about that lately.
It's been on Adam's mind a lot.
Yeah, actually, if you look around, there's been a lot more. When it used to just be comics, for the most part, they were just comics. Superman, Batman, you know, Archie, Spider-Man's. Birdman, whatever. They were just comics. But now there's novels being adapted. There's TV shows that are either continuing into the comic format or running side by side in the comic book formats.
We've got canceled games, TV shows having further life.
Games,
in
movies, adaptations, prequels.
What I would like to take this moment to do real quick is to say that
a brief word to our sponsor.
As Richard was going through all that, I mean, it helps you realize that this is a pretty big topic that we're going to be doing here. So odds
really
are
really big.
So what we're looking at doing is we're actually going to go ahead and break this up into a few different segments with Richard, where we'll post one of these every couple weeks, and we'll actually be going over this for a while. And it's going to be a little mini series of rapping with Richards
unless,
on adaptations.
Unless you overestimate us and we really don't have anything to say.
No. Yeah. I think there's a lot to talk about. And what I would like to do this first go round is just kind of do a general overview of it. Generally, our rapping with Richards do tend to be 15 minutes to a half hour. So, yeah.
I'm long-winded. Thank you.
But,
that's what she said.
But I would like to kind of take this time to go ahead and do a general overview. and maybe ask some questions about adaptations and the different things. And then later on, we'll break those into categories and then get into some more in-depth coverage of kind of opinions and theories on some of these adaptations.
Ooh, theories.
Holy geez, cool. You have a plan.
I do.
I'm not used to this.
I do have a plan. I wrote things down.
Yeah, I saw
about
your notes when we got
three
here.
Minutes ago.
Yeah, I saw you taking notes as we were talking. Yeah.
But the first thing that I would actually like to ask, I got some questions that I've written down here. The first thing before, yeah, I did. I wrote down questions and everything.
There's like two words. That's not a question.
No, okay, that's a question. No. Here's the questions, okay?
Okay.
The first thing I would like to ask is, and again, we're not talking about comics being adapted into movies. I guess we should specify that. This is more the other direction, as Richard was kind of saying. Things being adapted into comics.
Yeah, I
missed that. Yeah, directing towards.
And that's why he's had to specify that. But the first thing I would like to ask is, what's an adaptation?
Webster defines. And you're just using the word adaptation. Yeah, it can be an original. There are originals going on here that are still adapted from. Well, like, there's been four different venues. There's TV shows that are running in comic book format now. There's movies that are either being.
Question.
I know, but you'll just have to edit it around this. Adaptations and prequels. There's games being converted, and then there's novels. Some of them are adaptations coming from an original source. Some of them are originals just being written.
So
to answer your question, Adam.
Yes, thank you, Ryan. What is an adaptation?
Ryan?
You said Ryan.
I said Ryan.
You said Ryan.
I might have tripped over it.
Hi, Ryan.
I said, thank you, Brian.
Ryan.
For the topic of our discussion and adaptation is, as Richard said a minute ago, most of the comics that we are familiar with were born that way. They were created as a comic book character to be a comic book character.
Yes.
And the adaptations that we're discussing is someone has created characters, a history, backstories, however far deep it goes, in another medium, used it in that other medium, and then it comes into comics after that as its second or third or fourth or however. I mean, like some
correct.
Of the yeah, like, it might like go look from... at look at something like G.I. Joe, which was an early adaptation. G.I. Joe started as a toy, came into a animated series and another line of toys, and then into comics as basically its third life.
Right.
I think you skipped one. They did like novelizations, didn't they?
I don't know. I'm not 872 years old, Ted.
I think they did novelizations. And I remember reading like a G.I. Joe book.
Kind of like from
no
what,
pictures.
From what you
except for the cover. Yeah, it's like
he reads books with no pictures.
Hey,
get him.
Don't scoff. It's been like 7 years and I've done it. College textbook probably. Last time I actually did that.
Kind of based phone off book. Of what Richard kind of was using as his
actually phone book has pictures.
Like what's the
yes,
phone
it
book?
Does. As Richard was defining adaptations, and as you were defining, one of the follow-up questions that I kind of have to that is there a difference between, or are expansions of a universe, are they adaptations, or are they something in and of its own that adds to an existing product?
Yes.
It can go,
is
yeah,
it a sublet,
really,
or is
yes.
it something different?
I think it can be related.
It can be both, because it's still based upon an original design, characters, plot, whatever, and it may be in a new story, it may just be an expanded old story.
So in your definition, the adaptation itself is not the specified story, but the universe and the characters.
It's the melding of something that's existed
makes
in
an
one
adaptation.
Art form
that's,
into another art
sure,
form, I guess.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. It's so, something that wasn't created originally, just as a comic.
Okay.
Because even if, like, if you want to draw the most direct line, usually when Marvel DC has a what they call an adaptation of the movie comic to go along with a movie that gets released, even that book is not a direct correlation to the movie because they'll change the story and adapt it more for the comic
the
book
format
or whatever.
Yeah.
So even a clear-cut adaptation, like a cover of something, like to use a musical term, instead of covering Across the Universe by the Beatles,
that's
they
the worst
changed.
Movie I've ever seen.
All right, yeah, we can keep moving on. Keep
I'll
moving.
Slap you in the gizzard.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah, I like
it. It was
movie.
Awful.
Get out.
Awful.
I
like awful.
Get right
movie.
Out of town.
It's entertaining.
All right, oh, no, you're done. This is a three-man. Three-man podcast now. You're out. You're done.
But continue your point.
But anyway, instead of doing a direct cover of a Beatles song, it's as if you
ruined it.
Yeah.
If you completely change, if
played
you,
it backwards,
if you changed it, mixed it with something else, it's you know even direct comic adaptations change things, modify it.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like direct direct adaptations, that's got to be like a lot smaller percentage than the mm-hmm. ones that are actually like, you know, expanding upon the universes. Right.
Yeah.
Because only like the really recognizable stuff gets like a direct adaptation. Mm-hmm. But you have all kinds of shows and yeah. or toy lines or whatever that are continuing out. So
yeah, the I think direct, they're related. Direct adaptation, the only yeah. ones I can think of is when one of the comic book companies will release an adaptation of the movie they have
the
coming
movie,
out, hoping,
the book or something.
Hoping to trick
yeah.
somebody into spending $5 for sort of crappy comic.
So you consider the G.I. Joe comics an adaptation?
I do.
At this point, I mean, at this point,
it wasn't something that was created specifically as a comic.
Mm-hmm.
Now today, the G.I. Joe comics, the current ones, even
yeah.
are even a little bit different because yeah. now the publishers are getting a little smarter, even that, and working with the movie theaters closer, they're doing prequels books that are leading, you know, to try to get your interest to lead into the film. You know, right now G.I. Joe's doing that, and the Star Trek upcoming film, they got a countdown miniseries. There's 4 issues of that. That's a direct lead in to the film.
Would you say to
use G.I. Joe as a direct example?
Yeah.
It's a very different monster than any of the other ones we might discuss.
Mm-hmm.
In that, when it was first launched, I think it was launched. I mean, this is back when, you know, you could still watch that cartoon on television and still go buy those toys as one of the most popular toys on the market. You know, back when we were kids and Adam was still in.
I am
utero.
Older than Ted.
are you?
Yes.
Yeah. So I wasn't even, man, I was.
You're just a glimmering lion in those eyes.
Yeah.
But it was originally, it was launched as kind of a supplement for that growing marketplace. But eventually the popularity of the toys went away. The television show went off the air and the comics became the focal point of the storytelling for that character, and they took on a complete life of their own. And like Richard says now,
mm-hmm.
the comic books have been in existence a long time. There's a movie and some more animated things coming out now, and the comics are a mix. They're tying into those things, and they're also standing on their own as individual stories, because it's a very different beast than something like Buffy
mm-hmm.
that has, you know, had a direct sequel to a television series,
which is awesome,
in some formats, and then another format basically telling stories they didn't have time to because the series didn't last long
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, well, right? Oddly enough, and I actually had something else I was going to say, but you brought
well,
up
let
Buffy.
Me interrupt you.
Well, I had like this whole thing I was getting ready, but then you brought up Buffy, so I'll have to write that down and come back to it.
Another note.
It's scribbled. I like that. So when Buffy was still on air, I believe, there were comics coming
their
out
stories,
yes
yeah
they were still being they dark horse stories yeah. and books
yeah so so I mean
I
so that was something that
I don't follow the Buffy
and I don't think anybody really read those because
read,
from what I can John but did you actually read them just collect the covers
they had audit they obviously had audiences
but they were in existence as little supplement stories mm-hmm. and but then it wasn't until after Buffy was canceled or whatever
yeah.
that the 8th season of Buffy came out. And that's where it took off from
And
there.
I'm really thinking that...
And that was a completely different kind of adaptation. That was continuing
right.
a storyline, whereas the other ones were just little fill-in stories.
Right. Yeah. And it really may have been Serenity that started that. I think Josh Whedon, when he found out he had success with doing that Serenity,
mm-hmm.
the first Serenity miniseries was actually used as a tie-in from the last TV episode to the movie. It was the in-between part.
To help bridge the gap. Series to the
And
movie.
I think he had enough success with that, he realized that, hey, not only does this work with Serenity, and he's done another miniseries since then, that this might be a way to revive other shows that he's worked with, Buffy, Spike, Angel, whichever, even though they've gone through different publishers
now. Dollhouse will be next.
Yeah,
it's going to get canceled.
It's going to be pretty quick, apparently. he's got several episodes he can write in the books now immediately. But it's given him an excellent venue to carry on a TV show. You don't have to worry about now. You don't have to worry about actors or complaints within. You don't have to worry about them getting old, anybody, you know, deceasing themselves and whichever, you know, going away.
Deceasing themselves?
That'd be suicide, by the way. You don't have to worry about any of the problems with that or any, you know, continuity issues. Yeah, whatever.
Let me ask you.
Slip of the tongue. I'm sick.
In a continuation of that, let me ask you this. Buffy was a TV show.
Yes,
it was.
It was, actually.
It was,
theoretically,
it was a show.
Theoretically, if
in
Buffy
reality,
was a TV
your
show.
Your assumption is correct.
Yes.
Okay, and this is,
and it got canceled.
Yes.
And it did.
It did.
You're two for two, man.
Okay. And then season 8 is actually something that was already planned in existence,
mm-hmm.
and he brought it in comics to finish the story. Is that an adaptation?
It isn't a matter. It's still carrying on the characters that were originally conceived through the show.
I think that it's I think that is an example of a truer adaptation than some of the other things we've exampled, because the way you just laid it out, it was designed. Designed to be used in one way, and he just switched mediums. But, so it was supposed to be a TV season, and he couldn't do it that way because the networks didn't want it.
Even if it was originally to be a...
Are you trying to put like a stricter definition? Like, it seems like you're trying to winnow down what an adept, like you're taking things out of it. I would like to find out. All these things could be in, why can't all these
Maybe it should be called something different than adaptations. Well, other than comics.
No, it's fine. I mean,
format paradigm shift?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm trying to decide when, because we do.
Format multiverses?
I don't know.
But we do all refer to these as adaptations. I mean, everybody refers to these things as adaptations. But the thing is, what makes an adaptation? Is it could it be any of the number of things? Is it the idea of an idea being set into one medium and then moving into another medium?
Well, I don't think it can be just the idea. I think there has to be
It's anything other than that wasn't originally created as a comic book and still exists in comic book format. I think it's just got to be any of those other topics, whether it be the game, the shows, the movies, novels, or whatever. They weren't, if it wasn't originally created as a comic, then I guess for our purposes, we're calling it an adaptation, even though some things would be different.
So basically, for our purposes, an adaptation is something that was created and originally set in one media and then put into another media.
Sure.
Yes.
For our purposes.
Like
if somebody comes up with a better word for that, post it and let us know.
Like, use like the Resident Evil franchise as an example. The video games are the original, and the movie and the comics and the toys are all adaptations of that original product.
Right. Mm-hmm. And like I say, they've determined now that there's obviously money into it. It's really and truly, to me, more media fields looking into the comics and going, they're valid. People are reading these books. It's a way to get our vision and our stories across in a different format, cheaper perhaps, with less production issues, and to get them out there. That's why they're continuing the TV shows, and they're even doing some simultaneous, like the Fringe book right now. There's a Fringe TV show and a Fringe book running simultaneous.
That was something else I was going to bring up.
Ghost Whisperer
was
a personal favorite, but
so I guess then in that show,
have you actually cracked one open?
And have messed with the cover?
I was going to say,
Lord, no, man.
But some things shouldn't exist as comics.
Things like Fringe and Ghost Whisperer.
And Chuck.
Chuck. Well, Chuck not necessarily as much. But here's my question. I haven't really paid much attention to Fringe and Ghost Whisperer. Fringe came out before the show did. The comic did, right?
Same time? It was very close. The first issue came out, and there was like a four-month delay between the second issue.
But when Fringe was originally done, was it done to be a TV show? And then a second thought, they're like, hey, let's do a comic too.
No, I think they were both done simultaneously.
John thinks that it was originally a TV show, and then they said, hey, let's
John
do a comic
John is
as
really
well.
Not here.
I think it was a TV show first, because TV you show. Also have to remember that how long in advance does a TV season get filmed?
Green lights, even. That was definitely a TV
I'm pretty
show
sure
first.
Show it was well, show first.
I mean, and you're not Jesus. Just going to call Pacey up and get him to do something off the bat. Well, yeah. Busy dude.
And then, and same thing with Ghost Whisperer, I take it.
Ghost Whisperer was definitely way before the book.
The reason I say, was it?
Yes. Okay. Ghost Whisperer's been out several seasons.
Because then the thing with Chuck, and that's what, like you brought up Chuck, but again with Chuck it was close. The first season.
You said up Chuck?
Yes. You brought up Chuck.
That's a good example.
But no, in that case, the first season was over. And the comic was a continuation. It kind of took place between the seasons, so it's a little different than Fringe, where Fringe basically they both came out at the same time.
The funny thing though that we're talking about is pretty much every TV show that we've mentioned are TV shows that are in trouble, have been canceled, going to be canceled.
Yeah,
Fringe is a good show.
What's the
Chuck is a solid show as well.
Fringe is never on though.
It is.
It is on Tuesdays.
I don't even know when Fringe is on.
Typical Fox. Like if Fringe. It's not American Idol or The Simpsons, Fox will move it to 87 different time zones.
Now Family Guy
time frames, time days.
Zones. I think they're all in different time zones.
Yeah, and I'm not sure there's really 87 different.
Fox's broadcast motto is: we don't want you to watch what you could currently see, we want you to watch the crap we're showing another time.
And Lord knows comics don't force anything on
us. Enough said. Cancel Arrested Development.
Well, here's the thing about that. Nobody watched it.
Well, the people that did loved it.
Nobody, I don't have a problem with them canceling shows that nobody watched, no matter how good it is.
Well, I do. That's and again, I'm not talking to you again. You're Sean again.
So one of my other... One
continue
the,
on.
One
Ted doesn't really love me.
One of the, see, you're starting to lose interest in Brian now, too. Right? One of the other things, when we were talking about G.I. Joe, I want to kind of get back to that, and we were talking about how it is kind of a different animal and how it's been around for years and years in a comic and everything. So is that to say that at this point, G.I. Joe is no longer an adaptation, it just is? Is it that when G.I. Joe first went from a toy in cartoons to a comic book format, that bit was an adaptation, but now it's no longer an adaptation? It's
I think we're just having problems with the word adaptation right now, to be honest with you.
No, we're not. I mean, I think these are all different questions. I mean,
to me, an adaptation...
I see your point, though.
An adaptation taken in a literal sense is a TV show or a movie being converted literally into that comic book.
That's beside the point. At this point, what, 20-some years later...
Uh-huh.
I mean, is G.I. Joe an adaptation?
It doesn't change its origin story or its definition. But the thing that you find with that is that the fan basis and the idea basis for that was strong enough that it supports a full life in various forms of media. Everything does. Some things don't work as a TV show. Some things don't work as a comic. Some things don't work as toys. Some things don't work as video games, etc. G.I. Joe is very basic and has such a strong fan base that it can exist pretty much in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So I think I think that points to the strong point. I mean, something like Ghost Whisperer shouldn't exist at all. So it's not going to be successful every place.
Brian is dead to me.
That's 2 out of 4 for this show.
Now it's still back to
me. I've grown numb to you.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what she said.
Me, Adam, and Ted. Can you just kill that one mic?
I did earlier. Remember, I just turned it on.
Perfect.
By accident. I just think that shows that particular concept and fan base has been strong enough to actively support it strongly in different mediums.
All right, so you bring up another good point, which is a question that I had written down.
I don't believe you.
No, I did.
Show it to us.
What makes a good adaptation? What works? What makes a good adaptation?
I think you
have... What makes a good movie? What makes a good... It's just going to be people taking a shot at it.
Well, no,
that's not true.
I think it's something that has to be flexible enough to work in various platforms.
Now, do you think to be a good adaptation, I mean, is that something that has to be able to transfer from one medium to another and both audiences will accept it? Or is it something that brings an audience that follows one medium to a new medium?
I think it needs to be both. Let's take Spider-Man for an example. Spider-Man's the movies that were recently done. That's not millions of people who love the comic book character that made those movies all that money. That's people that can identify with what they created on the screen and probably watch Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends and things like that. They have an idea of what Spider-Man is and who he is and why they like him, but it's the concept of the character and the execution that made it that much money.
Yeah, but I can even be more specific from the store owner part. Farscape now has a comic book series. The only people I'm truly... Well, I won't say the only one. Majority of the people that are actually coming here and buying the Farscape comic are the people that watch the Farscape TV show. Mm-hmm. They're coming in here specifically buying that particular issue, even multiple covers, and some of them, since they're different covers, and pretty much that's it. They're right. buying the Farscape. They came in from that one TV show medium to continue reading or watching a show they liked, you know, but that's all they're doing. They're not buying other things.
I think there are a lot more examples of that than there are the ones that really work. I mean, like Star Trek and Star Wars. Well, do you really have people buying those comics that aren't in that nerd fan base?
I have more that probably buy a variety of things out of those bases because they've been around for a long time and have been, they're further entrenched. Yeah. Than the Farscape is, or Fringe, for example, things like this. Mm-hmm. Things that are a little bit more tighter of an audience right now.
I would imagine, like, for the most, like, I have those Serenity books, mm-hmm. but I really like that TV series and really like that movie. Right. I imagine that's something that's...
Serenity sells very well whenever it comes out. I hope it comes out. Another one comes out soon.
I'm assuming that probably the most current big success for going from one medium to another is going to be Buffy Season 8.
Buffy season eight is probably slowing down a tad right now. I think if there was an original script they were basing on for season 8,
mm-hmm.
I think we've passed that. I think we've gone way past that and we're into original stories.
Yeah.
And right now, Buffy started really high. It's kind of dropping off a bit. We'll see if it continues dropping off or if it just line of levels.
I blame the lack of Chrissy Swanson.
You know, Angel's doing about the same thing. Spike never really has done big here. Angel is secondary to Buffy, though.
But as far as pulling in comic book people who never really watched Buffy that may have given that a chance and pulled them into the Buffy universe, the Whedonverse, even, and the combination of that with people that probably only watched Buffy and other Joss Whedon stuff, but when it got turned, season 8 got turned into a comic, I'm sure that many of them started buying comics that had probably never bought comics in their lives.
Take a read of the Letters column back.
When Buffy started,
people seems like her.
Yeah, when Buffy started, there were definitely regular subscribers over here that had been buying comics, that added Buffy to their list. But I also brought in several folks that had not been doing comics, and they pretty much just pick up Buffy. Now, have they stretched out to other venues? In some cases, they're picking up other lookalikes like the Angel or the Spike. Other by Josh Whedon type thing, or other things that are show related. But very few, if really any, that I can think of offhand, have actually said, I've been reading Buffy. Let me give Spider-Man a try. Yeah. Or let me give the Superman books a try. That I haven't really been seen.
I think Whedon is a rare person in the adaptation conversation in that he casts pretty large shadow. In that his fans really cross-pollinate. Like, usually if you like something out of his stuff, you like something else. And he's gotten people who read Astonishing X-Men and didn't know anything about his other stuff to go check out his other things. He got people, like people to read who read Astonishing X-Men and liked it would go get Frey or would check out Buffy having not. I know people that had never watched the TV show who started reading the book and then went back and decided they wanted to watch the TV show. I know people that.
And I agree. I think Josh
people
Whedon.
People that saw other things.
His
and
name carries a good
Dr.
bit of weight.
Serenity
did
and things
Dr.
like
Horrible
that.
Did it more than
the original Buffy's were all written by either stories. That were from Josh Whedon or that he actually wrote those issues. Those did real well, and he was smart about starting it off.
He was also really smart with Buffy in that he went out and got some name comic talent.
But the ones that he's physically involved with do lots better than the ones that he just has as a name attached to.
Now, as far as, like you mentioned, Farscape, the way I see it, like you said, only people that watched Farscape are buying Farscape.
All three
Majority.
Okay. What my assumption is with that is, I know people that used to watch Farscape, and they loved it, but they're not going to come and buy comics. So I'm guessing Farscape's transfer is probably very minimal.
Right now, it's becoming one of my bigger surprise hits than what we did. I was getting 20-25 copies, and I can't keep them in the store.
Really?
They're already going to second printings.
Greenville loves Farscape.
Well, because
it filmed here or something?
because
in this store.
I know multiple people that really enjoyed Farscape, but they're not going to buy a comic book. But
well, in some cases, it depends on how much you really like this show. If you really like the show, you realize it's not going to be back on TV anymore. The chances of that are gone. Movies are apparently getting slimmer possibilities as the longer it goes on. So if you want to continue and get your fix of Farscape, comics are the only format right now.
I never watched Farscape. How long has that been off the air?
It's been eight years or something, right?
I'm not sure how long it's been. It could be a function
of how long it's been off the air. Buffy and Angel just went off.
Well, science fiction also is the most easily translatable from movies or televisions to comics because there's already that fantasy.
And a lot of the comic book readers already are involved in sci-fi.
Attachment and de-attachment from regular. Stargate, don't they have comics? And Battlestar Galactica have comics? Didn't everything on the Sci-Fi Channel
Doctor
have a comic,
Who?
More or less? Yeah, Doctor Who. Who? Didn't Doctor Who start off as a comic? Originally?
No, it started off as a British radio show.
He had a phone booth.
It was originally a British show.
British,
but you're right.
Wankers.
As far as you look at most adaptations in comics, and they are sci-fi, whether they're sci-fi TV shows, sci-fi books.
Well, except for Pride and Prejudice, but very few exceptions.
Moby Dick.
You look at if we go down that wall and look at adaptations, most of them are going to be science fiction.
Yeah, something like Chuck is very rare.
Yeah.
And it was not a big seller, but it had that small audience and apparently did well enough that they, produced 4 issues of it. I don't know if we'll see it again, but the show's still popular. It's still continuing.
And when the TV show goes away, maybe.
And in some cases, I think that's true. Like if when Chuck does go off the air, there probably won't be any following for Chuck series or whichever.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think that
would be
a great
comic book
series.
Some shows apparently are proved that they can continue on through, you know, X-Files. Mm-hmm. Still got an X-Files
True.
Comic.
That's another one.
It's long since been gone and dead, and the movies haven't really been that Good. Great.
Yeah, they probably they did that movie last year or something. What were they thinking?
So some of the things, some of the things continue well into comics.
Yeah, they didn't get one.
I'm sure the actors got paid up front.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean that's a good point. That science fiction is a big thing. Now they are moving into other I don't know if I would probably still fantasy, but Wizard of Oz. Is
well, fantasy. Now we're still getting fantasy like R.A. Salvatore books, the Legend of Dritz, Forgotten Realms. They still have that small audience, so they're still.
Yeah.
Very popular books for the right audience. There's a little something for everybody.
Those magician books. I remember those. Those were good.
Magician Apprentice?
Yeah, those were really good.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember reading all those.
But, I read the adaptations, though. I remember I'm talking about the originals.
No, that's, yeah, that's
I read the adaptations.
I read the novels.
But so. Did you read the adaptations, though?
No, I haven't read any of those yet.
I haven't read those.
Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
No.
No, I mean that's pretty much what I had written down. So
and that aggressive plan.
Well, no, that's as far as I've written down. Like, because I still I'm afraid of going too deep into.
That's what she said.
No fears, from what I understand.
Yeah,
I'll
say no worries on that end. Don't worry about that happening.
If you get started, that's good enough.
Into specific areas.
Man,
I would like to continue on the discussion, and I would like to do more of these. I would like to, you know, kind of break it down and
maybe bring more notes in the beginning.
That's not the point. Okay. What do you have in your notes, Richard, that is not a specific about novels or movies or something like that we could save for another show?
Oh man, I'm on the spot on this one.
No, my point is, I would like to do more of these, and I'd like to specifically break these into chunks. And these topics of discussion. And
problem, though, is that so many of the ones that are worth talking about overlap. In multiple.
Yeah.
Well, and there might be some overlapping through some of them, which is fine.
This is kind of like earlier when we first started doing this, Richard was naming a lot of different areas, media of which adaptations exist into comic books.
Conversions, or whatever you want to call them.
And before we can go ahead and break these into discussions later down the road in more depth, let's talk a little bit more about some of these different mediums that they come from. I mean, one that I thought of that was like the fact that plays. I mean, you got Shakespeare stuff being adapted into comics sometimes, and again into movies
we're
and things like that.
Down here, you also have something Same we actually deal. Didn't touch on because it doesn't really exist the same way anymore. But there's classic comic book characters that started off as radio serials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then went into comics and have further stretched into other mediums. And then you also one of the first ways that a comic book character saw the light of day otherwise. Like Superman went from a comic book character to a really popular radio serial before there were, you know, television shows and cartoons and things like that as
newspaper
well.
Newspaper strips and whichever. Mm-hmm.
We ought to do a podcast serial. Maybe Cookie Crisp.
I mean, you bring up something, Richard. I mean, as far as newspaper serials and things like that, if something is that a different medium? Is a newspaper a different medium than a comic book?
It's probably really closely related, but it's still a different medium.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a different medium. You know, the Phantom.
So would that be an adaptation?
You know, I don't know if we're ever going to find a real word that better than conversion.
Get off the word, Richard. I'm not worried
You're
about
the
word.
You're the one using it.
I'm asking you if is that
yes?
Is that a is
yes.
that as far as
for our purposes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You mean like a newspaper strip?
Do we have a newspaper,
newspaper strip?
Comic to floppies?
Phantom. As far as I'm, Phantom, I believe started out as newspaper strips or radio dramas or something, and has gone into comic book format.
Garfield.
Yep.
Garfield
just straight floppies.
He's had comics.
I mean, I'm not talking about like trade collectible.
One
shot. No, no. I mean,
no, there was like some one shots.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
Series,
it's nothing
thing.
Huge, but I mean, it's happened. Yeah. It's happened.
Okay. I mean, I'm just. Like
is
I said,
that really
I
different?
Though?
I don't.
Heck, the Pope.
There
was a Pope comic.
As far as writing and the way people read it in the audience, yes, it's very different between newspapers and floppy comics.
Yeah. Like the single panel four panel monster.
Mm-hmm.
That is doing a comic directly for newspapers.
Right.
It's different in how it's produced. For comics, where you're doing a much larger connected story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is
But the same token, I think it's the most similar adaptation transition
right.
that you have because it's still It's still panels. It's still structured. It's still printed medium.
Formatted.
But when people do movies and stuff, you do layouts. A layout looks like a comic page when you write up storyboards.
Yeah, but that's not how it appears.
Yeah, that's not end product.
In creation, you're right. It can be similar. Yeah. But in end product, which is how the millions of people can see it, it's very different.
But then,
because you boil it down to that level, because everything starts out as a script. Yeah. It's a typed out script, so you boil it down that level.
Yeah, unless you're like a cartoonist like Darwin Cook that draws and then writes things in, which I mean that's not completely uncommon for cartoonists, but even somebody who's a writer and an artist, generally speaking, like Ted said, will write a script and then do artwork for us. I mean, everything starts off on just a page and a pencil.
Well, I mean, but then also, I mean, when you look at a newspaper, it's like sometimes a newspaper strip will be, you know, to be continued at the end. It'll continue like Spider-Man, stuff like that.
Right.
But things like Garfield or Doonesbury or some of those things, they end with a punchline or something. Mm-hmm. It's very short. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, done.
Yeah.
And to convert that into a
nickel for every time out 20, of my life.
24-page story is way different than converting a TV show into
right.
a comic.
There's been different strips, too. You're right on the Doonesbury, the Garfield, which was pretty much in there. But the Phantom ones were like storylines that went through, you know, many weeks, months, or whatever type deal conversions.
And then be like soap opera comics and stuff like that, where every day was continuation.
Really, it is showing us.
It
is showing that all these other media places are realizing that comics are getting to be a bigger and bigger format. There's more readers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more of us out there to be reached via the comic format than I think they realized before. That's why all these companies and medias are adapting things towards comics. Even the recent political stuff has come out through the elections and all that. There's a lot of comics that are coming out that are only coming out because they know there's another a large audience out there, and this is enabling them a way to introduce that.
So is that a way? Is that basically a way of adapting politics into comics?
Perhaps. You know, we want to get down to it. It's just another way of getting another medium involved in the comics. And the only reason they're doing that is these companies realize that comics are getting more and more formidable, more and more a way of contacting different readers.
One of the things we haven't brought up, and it relates directly to what Richard was just talking about, is one of the reasons why people are going to comics as a medium for this to make money. Which a lot of these adaptations and things that we're discussing is just about is just about cashing in and not doing something artistic, is that the average comic book reader turns into, at some point or another, whether they want to argue it or not, turns into a comic book collector.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you're throwing them away or giving them away after you read them, then you're collecting them, you're keeping them, you're holding on to them. And
don't consider myself a DVD collector.
You're a retainer.
I'm not a video game collector.
Wait a minute.
You're a retainer.
I'm not a clothes collector.
Well, like,
I don't throw them away.
Well, in our society, clothes are a necessity.
But not fancy.
You're not going to show up at Bank of America butt naked.
I don't know. I mean, I think if I didn't go with my Spider-Man fix, I would be kind of messed up.
DVD collectors, everybody's not. You are. You have 157 million DVDs.
<For now. laughs>
Like, if you play video games, if you keep a video game for years that you're never going to play again, you are a video game collector. Because you could trade it in and get a discount on a new game. If you're holding on to a game you don't play anymore, you're collecting them.
If I had a video game that never open and never play with, and kept in, I'm a video game collector.
That's just a different level of your collection.
If I bought multiple box covers of my game,
it's just a different level.
If you still
have Madden 95, then you're a video game collector.
Okay, it's still beside.
I might be a video game collector.
Let me finish my point.
Let's bring it back in.
And because comic books have shown themselves to be collectibles, and I'm not the one that
collectors.
They were trying not to be nerds for a minute. That's the reason why it got sidetracked.
Not a collector. Shut up.
Comic books have proven itself to be a collectibles market.
Yeah, it might be.
And things like the political thing, that's not trying to spread any sort of political message.
No.
It's we can make money from a collectible standpoint, and we can have multiple covers, and we can do all this sorts of things. That's one of the reasons why something like G.I. Joe, again, is such a strong crossover product, is because they have collectors. Josh Whedon's product, his little Whedonverse, he's got collectors upon collectors in there. Same thing with Transformers. I mean, it's ungodly what junk Transformers collectors will buy. I think that's why comic books are being pulled into as being a a strong tie-in for some of these companies for their products is because they've proven themselves to be collectors if you're a comic book reader.
That and they obviously see the size of the audience is out there and is growing, is increasing,
mm-hmm. That's what
and they're fans. And they know there's ways to get their product out there.
Not only is it a medium.
Cheap compared to a lot of them.
Not only
a lot of the mediums. Huh? Relatively it's cheap. I mean, especially if you already got like a set-in story and a set-in fan base mm-hmm. to bring out a, like if you're doing a continue, like a show that would play into that kind of format change. Yeah, I would totally do that.
I think one of the special things about comics is what you mentioned, and it's kind of a combination of things. Comics are a medium that are collected and read and enjoyed, mm-hmm. Whereas other
Hopefully.
Things. Well, yeah. I mean, people don't
hopefully enjoy
people in general don't collect movies. They don't collect TV shows. They watch them. I mean, like somebody might want to complete a series of a TV show or something now that they're all out on DVD.
Right. Why?
But that's it has multi purposes. I mean, you have like cards, baseball cards, and crap like that are collected, and you can't do jack with them.
I can put them in my bicycle. That's
nice. Make.
But would you?
When was the last time you rode your bicycle?
Considering I don't have a bicycle and haven't since 20 years.
But comics, things can be adapted to comics because multiple people, as Richard said, because more people are coming in and accepting comics, in theory.
Yeah.
Ted.
But for every person like me you get, how many people are you losing? I think if you do net-net.
I don't know. I don't know that I truly lose.
From what I've been in here for my business, I don't know that I truly lose people. What I do lose them... Due to economy, sometimes, or whichever. Mm-hmm. I have had very few people that have come in here and said, you know, I'm quit comics because I just don't care about it anymore. There have been economy issues, or maybe they've got a family, or maybe they've got another, you know, monetary needs or whatever, and they're having to give up the comics. But I don't think they're giving up. I don't think I've actually lost any customers in here going, you know, I've been completely 100% disillusioned with this industry, and I'm out of it.
But it's still the same effect, though.
I think that regularly.
But it's still the same effect, though. Even if you look past their reasons, you get the same effect.
What else have I got going on in my life?
Once again, this has turned into the Richard and Ted conversation.
Well, we're the MVP, so I think.
I think that people that you lose are people that you would lose regardless of, like, the topic that we have.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I also think that you have a large portion of people take breaks from things.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, I know probably more people that we talk to on a regular basis through the Dollar Bin that have taken some sort of sabbatical at some point and then come back to it.
You don't need to go back and listen to one of y'all's.
The industry, I wish someone would. I think the industry is so flexible that you can get burnt. You can get burnt on anything, but you can also find your way back to it because the industry itself isn't going to push you away. You're just not, if you can't find comics to read, you're not looking hard enough.
Oh, no, they're not all out there winners by any means, but there's enough out there that there's good books. And through the different venues that we were discussing earlier, if you like reading novels or games or whichever, there's a book out here for you.
Just like if you look at the Dollar Bin site, if you can't find something that you enjoy on it, you're just not looking hard enough.
www.thedollarbin.net.
If you can't find anything on Dollar Bin, then there's other websites.
There's even a picture of me on there now, so you got to something you're going to enjoy.
Well,
there you go, folks.
It's a very small picture, though. You need to go to the Flickr page for full Ted images.
Yeah. Being that that we're
action poses
at this point, running short on time, and we're going to continue. We have other things we have to do besides leaving here.
Laundry.
Reviews, we have to do the thing that you want to do, that little quick discussion. Ooh. Okay, so being that we're running short on time here, and we're going to continue this
without Ted, I guess, in
segments.
Ted can come back anytime Ted wants.
What I would like to do is just kind of...
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable with your hand on his leg like that.
I don't.
Move away from Adams and come over here.
I would like to just kind of fade out this show with everybody just kind
fade
of...
Fade out, throwing out
some of these different categories. Some of these categories that we will probably be discussing in the future of adaptations. Like movies, cartoons, TV shows.
Games. Classics.
You said what I was going to say.
Well, just...
Radio plays, serials. Plays, novels. Plays, toys.
Movies.
Toys. Yeah.
Plays. Gosh, and the list goes on and on. Politics. That's a good one, yep.
So,
real and life more drama. Are coming.
Yep, video games, card games.
We have reality comics.
Mm-hmm. Newspapers.
Oh, yeah, card games, yeah.
We were just kind of sitting back and kicking it with Brennan of Richards, and he was overhearing our discussion of rapping with Richard, and he just brought up a good point. Brennan, what was that point that you just brought up?
The adaptation definition depends on what you saw first. A 15-year-old kid who saw the Spider-Man movies is going to see the comics as a secondary medium. There's people who read in the Incredible Hulk newspaper strips who, if they saw the comics or the movies later, would think those were secondary or tertiary forms of entertainment. For us, Spider-Man is the first and always will be the first form. So it doesn't matter as much if the movies aren't correct. But when they do things like One More Day, that hurts a lot more than mm-hmm. Spider-Man 3 did. So, I had to throw it in there.
I said it.
Yeah. And your other point, Buffy was a great example.
Yeah. Both of those were like getting kicked in the nuts. A TV show based off a movie. Mm-hmm. The TV show is secondary, but because the following for that TV show became so much higher than the movie.
Yeah,
I've never even seen the movie.
It became the primary form of Buffy.
Do you bring up another
good point? Swanson is so much higher than Sarah Michelle Gellar.
It's funny. That's actually another really good point. That like
it can switch the primary.
Not only that, depending on the following. But but Buffy again is such an interesting use of this whole discussion because the movie isn't what Joss Whedon intended.
No, it's not.
You know, like that's not even his intention.
It can't be stupid.
Yeah. So
and also another point, as far as with Serenity, you could call the movie an adaptation of the series, but it's the exact same cast, the same production crew, the same writer director. Technically, it's a new episode.
It's a different medium.
It's a different medium, but that's what I'm saying. Can it be an adaptation if the entire production crew is the same?
I wouldn't call that an adaptation.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The artist on Buffy's comic has nothing to do with the production of the TV show.
Yeah. Right.
But if everybody involved in the Buffy TV show made the comic, it wouldn't be an adaptation.
I mean, Serenity is more like season two.
Yeah.
In 2 hours.
It's like a season finale. It's like a season finale. That's it. It's an extended season finale. Like Battlestar Galactica is awesome.
But the comics, even though they're all drawn the same story, all that would be an adaptation.
No, no one. Okay.
No, Tyler.
That was a great point. You should have been sitting here instead of me.